Okay, Parashas Balak. Here is the short version of what happens. The country of Moab, who's led by a king named Balak, is terrified. The Jewish people are advancing. Everybody in their way has been chewed up. And they feel that their end is near, and they don't want that to happen, so they have to protect themselves somehow. They do some espionage, and they come back with a report that this man named Moses, his strength is bepeh, in his mouth. It's not really, he's not such a great military strategist. It's all about his prayers. And as such, Balak seeks the assistance of a man whose name is Bilam. Bilam is a very evil person, and Bilam is a great prophet, and he has enormous prowess in his mouth. And Balak figures that the only way to fight fire is with fire, and the only way he's going to be able to overcome the strength and power of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish people, is with somebody who is just like him, at least has that same strength. And so he sends messengers to Bilam, and Bilam is very excited because he hates the Jews even more than Balak does. In fact, Balak asks that he curse them so they leave the land. But Bilam, when he speaks to God, he says he wants me to get rid of them altogether. He wants them off the planet. Hashem says to Bilam, not a good idea. You can't do this. So Balak bluffs and he tells the people, you know, you're just low-level diplomats. I can't, it's not appropriate for me to go with, like, send the Secretary of State, then maybe I'll consider the Foreign Minister, somebody of a higher office. And Hashem says to Bilam, this is not a good idea and you're not going to succeed. But if you insist, that's fine. But remember, as we see in chapter 22, verse 20, Vayove Elikim El Bilam, God comes to Bilam, Lila, at night. God only reveals himself to Bilam at night. The only time God ever revealed himself to Bilam during the day was in order to bless the Jewish people when he was trying to curse the Jewish people. So God comes to Bilam at night, and Vayomer Eloi, he says, Im likra ilacha bo anoshim, if they have come to call for you, kum lechitam, you can go with them. Va'ach es hadavar asher adaber elecha oisei sasa. Remember, it is only the things that I am going to speak to you, those are the things you are going to be able to do. And the Or HaChaim says, Oisei Tasa means that Bilam was a great sorcerer, and he used all kinds of divination in order to accomplish what he desired. But nonetheless, Hashem does not want him to go, and he will not be successful, and he is well warned. The Ibn Ezra says, Bilam understood this to mean he was right. God didn't want him to go with low-level diplomats. He only wanted him to go with higher-level people. And this must be a sign that the wall around the Jewish people is not impenetrable, and if he will only push hard enough, things will work out. Now, Ramban points out that initially Hashem says, do not go to curse them. So Bilam said, okay, I'll go bless them. And God said, don't curse them, don't bless them. They're just fine without you. Now, here, Hashem does not say to go and curse them, chas v'shalom. He says, if you want to go, im likre lecha, if they called you, kum lechitam, you can go with them. However, he never says you can curse them. He says, remember, you can go with them if you want, but you will only say what I allow you to say. And that is basically the rules of engagement that Bilam gets and disregards, thinking that he will somehow be able to circumvent the desires of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's take a look in Rashi on verse 20, which is the last verse of the second reading of Parshas Balak. Rashi tells us, im likrei lach. What's the meaning of the word im? What does it mean, im? Is there a possibility that he didn't call you? What is it? If they came to call you, then go with them. But if they just came for dinner, then serve them dinner. I mean, like, what do you mean, im? What's if? Obviously, they came to call you. That's why they came. Why other reason would they be there? So Rashi explains that the word im, the if, is not if they came. Im hakriya shalcha. If you think this is for your good, this is yours, you think this is your calling. V'savar ato lito le'asachar. You think you can profit and benefit from this by going there. Whether you are going to be successful or not, but you think just by going, you'll already be able to collect some kind of profit. Kum lechitam. I'm not going to stop your profit gaining, Bilam. Bilam was a man who always looked for profit. He's a person who always desired everybody else's money. He was never happy with what he had. And he had what they call in Yiddish big eyes, Gresa Egan. He was looking always what everybody else has. He saw Balak's storehouses and he saw Balak's, the deep pockets of Moab. So he was going there. Hashem says, listen, if you think you can go there and benefit, I'm not going to stop you. You can make a living, and then some. But remember, that doesn't mean you have a free hand. Kum lechitam, you can go with them. However, you should know, as a matter of fact, that you are not going with the ability to do as you please, but rather you're only going to do as I please. Va'ach, and that's where the word va'ach comes in. Va'ach, however, hare, Rashi says, if you go with them, hare al karchach, we're talking here, al karchach at esadovra shadabr elecha, oisoisase, it's what I speak, that's what you're going to do, nothing else. And the Torah, Rashi tells us that, you know, sadly, afal pichein vayelech Bilam. Bilam decided to go anyway. Why did he go anyway? He knew that he's not going to succeed. God told him he's not going to succeed. So Rashi says, he thought, Shema afatenu v'yisatza. Maybe I can sweet talk him. Maybe I can coax him into this. Maybe he will change his mind and want, which is in and of itself an act of heresy. But that's Bilam's moxie. That's what he decides to do. And so, beginning of verse 21 now, the third reading, Vayakom Bilam. Bilam rises early in the morning. Vayachbesh es asoine, and he saddles his donkey. Vayelech im sori Moav, and he heads off with the officers of Moav. Now, does anybody know what Bilam had for breakfast? Bacon and eggs? Hash browns, what do you have for breakfast? Do you know? Do you know what he had for breakfast, young man? No? The Chumash doesn't tell us? What kind of shoes did he wear? Was it boots or slippers or sandals? Did he wear military attire? Did he wear soothsayer attire? What was he wearing? We don't know. Well, what do we know? We know that he saddled his donkey by himself. Who put his shoes on? That's his business. What he had for breakfast, or if he had breakfast, or who made breakfast, we don't know. What we do know is that when it came to saddling his donkey, he saddled the donkey by himself. What does that tell you? Okay. We don't know what it tells us yet, but clearly it's telling us something. Because if the Torah chose to tell us that this is what's going to be happening, there must be some kind of message here. If there wouldn't be a message, the Torah wouldn't be telling it to us. I mean, after all, the Torah doesn't tell us about everything else. So we take a look in Rashi to find out why it is that it's important for us to know that Bilam is saddling his donkey all by himself. Says Rashi, we are on chapter 22, verse 21. Says Rashi, Vayachbesh es asono, and Bilam saddled the donkey. Mikan, it is from here that we can learn Shahasino mikalkeles es hashurom, that hate disfigures, hate disables. Hate is something that somehow it doesn't allow the status quo to remain in place. It's what we call the shura. The shura is the line. The line is everybody holds their line. For example, when we study Pirkei Avot, we say Pirkei Avot is the fnim mishurat hadin, beyond the, we translate it as letter of the law. But that's because in English it's the letter of the law. But it's really beyond the line. Shura is a line. So everything has its frame. Everything has its limitation. Everything has the reality that it's within. So certain lines of scrimmage. This is the frame. This is the way things are. And we all operate within a frame. Maybe in English this is what we would call appropriateness. There's the frame of appropriateness and inappropriateness. That doesn't mean that everything we do is exactly choreographed, and we don't have to double check in a little booklet. And a PC booklet tells us how we should do this, how we should do that. We don't have to read lines. But nonetheless, there's a certain frame of what we're going to call decency, normalcy, the expected reality. It's normal. This is how people behave. Is appropriateness, and then there's inappropriateness. So imagine that in the square or circle of appropriateness, somebody draws like a line. So here's the line. Okay, you play within this parameter. In many things it's like this. In fact, in virtually every discipline, there's a certain frame you have to live within. The medical community has its frame, has its lines. You're within the bounds of what we call proper medical practice. And somebody does something, you say, well, you're out of bounds now. You know, because you play basketball or hockey, you go out of bounds. The same kind of thing. There's bounds. It's a line. It's a line you don't cross. Or sometimes people would say, you know, that's a line you don't cross. Some people claim that the current president of the United States crosses lines he shouldn't cross. Maybe they're right. I don't know.
The media crosses lines they shouldn't cross. Maybe everybody's crossing lines they shouldn't cross. That's probably true. And you know why? It's exactly, here's the answer, because there's a lot of hate. They hate each other. And when people hate each other, they do things which are totally inappropriate. Because hate has this way of breaking the barriers, of somehow casting aside the normal bounds or limitations of appropriateness. And why is the Torah telling us about some one-eyed freak job who was a prophet and a soothsayer who was out to curse the Jewish people? Why are we hearing who saddled his donkey? Who cares who saddled his donkey? Who cares if he ties his shoes by himself? Did he make himself breakfast, or did he have a butler make a breakfast? Did he actually set the table himself, or somebody else set the table? We don't care. The Torah is not a history book. The Torah doesn't tell us arcane details that are not relevant. All the details that the Torah will convey to us must be relevant to our life. So what's the relevancy? Why would the Torah convey to us that he saddled the donkey by himself? And the answer is because the Torah, by telling you this detail, is giving you a window into the depraved soul of Bilam. What was he? A hateful man. What was he motivated by? Hate. And because he was a hateful person and was motivated by hate, Mechakelos HaSashura, he did something which was out of bounds. He crossed the line. What did he do? HaShechovash Hu Ba'atzmai. He went himself and saddled the donkey. People like that don't saddle donkeys themselves. It's like saying that the president was going to set out on a journey, so he took his limo to the gas station and filled up gas by himself. He doesn't do those things. There's appropriateness and inappropriateness.
It's not that he had an improper relationship with his donkey.
We're not even going there. Tomorrow we'll talk about his relationship with his donkey. That's not alluded to over here at all. Here we're alluding to the notion that he saddled his donkey. Or he saddled his donkey by himself. He doesn't have helpers. Extremely wealthy man. This guy was like an NGO. He was governments came and prostrated themselves before him. World leaders came and begged him for his assistance, his advice, his help. He was like a world-renowned figure. He was the man. These people all believed in the occult. They all believed in spiritual power. And they all sought his advice. And they all paid him handsomely for it. A person like that did not saddle the donkey himself. But here he did. And the answer is because he was so twisted with hate that he didn't stay within the bounds. In other words, there was a zeal, an excitement, enthusiasm. He went to saddle the donkey all by himself and get so excited about this. So let's say world leaders, people of enormous repute or wealth, that they play with their grandchildren by themselves, or they hire somebody to do that. They make silly faces and lay on the floor with the grandchildren, or they hire somebody else. They hire somebody else? Really? I don't think so. I think they play with their own grandchildren by themselves. But I don't think they play with your grandchildren. I think they play with their grandchildren by themselves. In other words, why? Because they love their grandchildren, that's why. Because love makes you do strange things. When there's a very strong emotional connection, it's not relevant what the bounds are or what the limitations are or the appropriateness or not appropriateness. Why? Because there's a connection, there's a special emotion that's involved here. And once emotions get involved, people do things which are out of bounds, which they wouldn't usually do, which would not be their typical repertoire of etiquette. And here Bilam does something which is extremely unusual. And the reason that he does this is because of his hate. He doesn't love Balak. He hates the Jewish people. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi says, God says, a voice rings out and says, Rasha, wicked man, kvar Kodemcha Avraham Avihim. Their father Abraham has already presaged you. He already set out on a different journey, and he also saddled a donkey. But when he saddled the donkey, it was out of love, not out of hate. Shenemar, it says, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker. Avraham arose early in the morning, Vayachbosh Eschamaro, and he saddled his donkey. In other words, the merit, let's read this Rashi literally, the merit of Avraham Avinu saddling his own donkey when they were going for the Akedah, which is the most difficult test Avraham Avinu ever had. It was his 10th and final, most challenging, in fact, mind-boggling test. Take your only son and offer him as a sacrifice. It boggles the mind. You can't imagine such a thing. And Avraham Avinu not only did it, he did it with zeal and enthusiasm. He says, that's what Hashem wants for me, and that's what I'm ready to do. So much so that Avraham, who was also very wealthy, Avraham was also a person whose advice was sought from far and wide, a man of international repute, which he usually didn't saddle his donkey by himself. But here he did saddle his donkey by himself. Why? Because his love, his excitement, his enthusiasm to fulfill the will of Hashem. Understand? These are the two. This is the contrast of Avraham and of Bilam. So really, the question has to be asked in fairness: what exactly is the issue here? Like, why would we need Avraham Avinu's love to serve as a counterweight to Bilam's hate? What do you mean, kvar kadmuch? Oh, don't worry, Avraham's been here before. Avraham got here first. Where did Bilam get that Avraham had to go? Now, I want you to know that Bilam was no stupid guy. And he knew that God did not intend to allow him to play his games and shenanigans. But nonetheless, Vayelech, and why did he go? So Abar Benel says, because he was able to foresee misfortune for the Jewish people. And there's unfortunately plenty of that. So he foresaw that misfortune. And he figured, if the Jewish people can be sent into exile, if the Beit HaMikdash can be destroyed, you know what he said? Then I can somehow, in some way, maybe get God to move a little bit too. And even if I can't, he said, even if I can't get God to curse them now, I can tell Balak about their future misfortunes. And maybe if I tell him about the future misfortunes, Balak will be satisfied and pay me anyway. So Abar Benel says, even if he wasn't going to succeed, he figured he'll succeed regardless of what happens. Either way, he'll manage to get his payback. And for Bilam, that's really all that counted. Okay. Let's take a look in the Biurei Chumash now with a phenomenal beer from the Rebbe about this business of Bilam coming first and Bilam and Avram coming first and Kvar Kadmuch, page Samach. So Tzarech Bir, here's the question the Rebbe asks. Mikach Shakadosh Baruch Hu Amar LeBilam Rasha. God says to Bilam when he's saddling his own donkey, wicked person. Kvar Kadmuch Avram Avinu, Avram Avim, their father Abraham already got there first. Mashma, it seems in some way, Shechavisha Sa'osin Al Yedei Bilam, that the saddling of the donkey by Bilam's own hand, in somehow was company construed as a merit. Somehow it was going to be something that would give him strength and power and ability. And therefore, he'd be able to curse the Jewish people. But what Bilam didn't know is that he was being obstructed by Avraham. Because Avraham, kvar kodmach, Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avim, because Avraham Avim already neutralized what Bilam did. The Rebbe asks, what's going on here? What did Bilam do? What did he do that was meritorious? What, that he was twisted with hate? That he was a person who acted outside, out of bounds, and he behaved inappropriately, and he violated the etiquette? So what? Like, why would that be a merit for him? Why would we need Avraham Avinu to somehow undo the hate with love? L'chayda, davar matmiya. This is so astonishing, actually. How could an act which is but an expression of pure unadulterated hate, so much so that Bilam acts out of character? Why would that be a zechus? Why would there be a merit for Bilam? A merit that we need Avram's merit to serve as a counterweight. V'yesh leimer. So here is the Rebbe's explanation. Behemshech ha-parsha matzinu, as this parsha will continue to unfold, we find when Bilam finds out that God said what he said and meant what he said, and Bilam is not effectively able to curse the Jewish people, he cannot mention their sins. So what happens is, Niso lekatrig aleihem ulahasker es avinasim. What's Bilam's strategy? He's no fool. He'll mention their sins. Keep mentioning their inappropriateness, keep mentioning their sins, keep mentioning the things that they did wrong, keep bringing to mind their shortcomings, and that in and of itself can somehow inhibit and impact the relationship of God and the Jewish people. So it's like, imagine a person wants to spoil things. You want to spoil things. People have a relationship, you want to spoil the friendship. You want to spoil. Sometimes, God forbid, if a mother-in-law doesn't like a daughter, wants to spoil things. God could just spoil things. You could come to the person and say, why do you love that person? It's a bad person. It's not for you. And what happens invariably? The back goes up. You told me it's not for me. Aftzalach is now it is for me. Now, even if I don't like it anymore, I'm still going to be for me, because that's human nature. So what's the other strategy? Keep pointing out inappropriateness. Keep pointing out the things which are wrong. And eventually, even though the person doesn't want to listen, at some point, you keep pointing it out. You know, it has some effect. It can't, because it has no effect. It does have some effect. You make people angry. You get people frustrated. getting them angry and frustrated? The perfect place to be. If you want to ruin a relationship, that's the right place where you want the parties to be. You want them to be angry and frustrated. And the more angry and frustrated they get, the more they act out, and the more you can make trouble. Well, this was exactly Bilaam's strategy. He was going to keep mentioning the inappropriateness of the Jewish people, keep mentioning their sins. He says, God won't let me curse them. But at least if I mention their sins, their inappropriateness, their lack of etiquette, and their lack of proper behavior, b'tikvah, b'kach yis'afsh l'lekalim, that will open a little doorway. It'll give me an in somehow to be able to curse the Jewish people. So this is Bilaam's strategy. V'hu adin b'inyoneinu. And the same thing that Rebbe says can apply here to Bilaam's saddling the donkey. Kavanasa shel Bilaam b'kach. What was Bilaam's intention? Shechava shesa osin ba'atzme. He went and saddled that donkey all by himself. Mitech sinasi, because he hated. Why? Mishum shahasino mikalkel sesashura. Because hatred creates inappropriateness. Hatred transcends the bounds of normalcy and of decent behavior. Hoysel l'rames. He was trying to hint. Shagam b'nei Yisrael kilkulu sesashura. That the Jewish people had also time and again behaved inappropriately. Pa'amim rabbis, many times in the desert. Boy, do we behave inappropriately. 40 days after getting the Torah, making a golden calf, you call that appropriate? Being fed by God, having this miraculous manna, and having this amazing be'era, this water, this spring of water, and then complaining, where's the beef? We're hungry. We're so good in Egypt. We used to sit by the flesh pots, and we used to have munchies, and now we're stuck here in the desert. That was not appropriate. The Jewish people did so many inappropriate things. God wants to take it to Israel. We don't want to go to Israel. We want to stay over here. A rebellion against Moshe. Rebellion is quelled. The people complain Moshe quelled the rebellion. You killed the Am Hashem, the nation of God. It's time and again inappropriateness. What was Bilaam trying to do? He was trying to point out inappropriateness. U'bekach lekatreg aleihem. And by pointing out the inappropriateness, he would be able to emphasize and to highlight Chas v'shalom, kaseish l'Kadosh Baruch Hu aleihem. He would say, look how inappropriate they are. So when somebody behaves inappropriately, what must be the reason? There's some kind of angst, there's some kind of emotion. So when people behave beautifully, you say, well, it's beautiful. I can't believe you did that for me. Well, I love you. I love you, so it doesn't matter. I do these things because I love you so much. But if a person behaves inappropriately and does bad things to you, you say, what are you doing that? Why would you behave like that for? What's the only answer? It's not from love. So what's the answer? It's got to be from the opposite. Right? Like everything from that ridiculous comedian who beheaded the effigy of Trump to Trump boxing out or wrestling out CNN. What's going on over here? Nobody's going to argue that this is within the bounds of normal conversation. Nobody's going to say this is typical. This is, oh yeah, this always happens. It's been happening in the United States for the last 250 years. It hasn't. What's going on here now? What's going on here now is that the divide in the United States, at least this is my read of it, is so deep, there's such an enmity, there's such a hatred between the two sides, that people are driven to extremes. They're no longer playing within the bounds of etiquette, of normalcy, of decency. Why? Because there's hate. So what did Bilaam want to do here? Bilaam says, look how much I hate the Jewish people. I went, I got the oil change all by myself. I'm the one who vacuumed the car and changed the tires. How could he do such a thing? Why would he do that? So, because he hates. What did Bilaam want to do? Bilaam was a very, very deep, profound thinker, a high-level strategist. He was trying to emphasize that when somebody hates, when there's emotional angst and acrimony and dislike, it causes inappropriateness. And so, he's not only highlighting the Jewish people's factual inappropriateness, he's actually highlighting the origin of the inappropriateness. Why did they behave inappropriately? Why? It must be because of the way they felt. And because they had these bad feelings. So these bad feelings caused this bad behavior. This is a problem. This is not good. Al kach omer l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So God's response is, Rasha, wicked person, kvar kodmach avram avim. They already have a merit of inappropriateness in a positive way. Zechuse shel Avram. The merit of Avram, shechove shesachamer, who went and saddled the donkey, be'atzmai by himself, demonstrating remarkable enthusiasm and joy to do the most dreadful thing in the world, because Hashem said to. And he did this by himself. This is an expression, shaha'ava mikalkel sasashur, that the love creates absolute, total inappropriateness, out of bounds, off the charts, something which is totally almost inexplicable. So this merit of Avram, Minah Mireish Esav Shad Islakatrik, this disabled Bilam's attempt to try to cause negative vibes about the Jewish people, to try to cause Hashem to look at them in a bad way, was mevusas alkach, even though this idea of the sinim mekakelsas hashurah, that the Jewish people, they had an enmity for Hashem, chas v'shalom. They hated God. They were hating so badly. And yet, the merit of the father Avram served as a shield. That's how we have to understand this. Now, that whole thing makes sense. And what, of course, is the lesson for us? Mashmos hadvarim b'avodas Hashem, the lesson that we can all learn in our own service to God, in becoming better people, in the way that Chassidus explains it. Sometimes we behave in manners that are inappropriate. And we know ourselves it's inappropriate. But it's because there's a certain hatred that twists things. The Yetzahara, Bisinasa Li Yetzatayv, or Lachol Devashabakdusha, our evil inclination, which hates doing the right thing. It hates God, it hates the good the good inclination, it hates everything holy. Machshala Sa'adam Bechet, he causes a person to stumble in sin. The Goyim Loi Lekalkel Es Hashuda Sadin. He causes him to ruin the line of the rule of law. Say that Adavar Haroy Al Pi HaTorah. You're not doing things the way the Torah says they should be done. So what's the answer? When we did something so stupid, so foolish, we ask ourselves, why do we do that? Why do I make such a dumb sin? It was such a bad idea. What was I thinking? Now, how do I overcome this terrible sin, this foolishness, that I was involved in? What's the answer? The answer is Ahava Mikalkel Sasashura. The answer is that love has to counterbalance it. You know what's the counterweight for inappropriateness? For negative inappropriateness? Positive inappropriateness. Imagine if a husband and wife did something very inappropriate to each other. One did something very inappropriate because they're angry. What should they do now to make up for it? They should demonstrate their love in a way which is off the charts, inappropriate, if you will. Like, what are you doing? I never expected you to do that. Exactly, that's the point. Ha'ava shebechinis lefnim mishuras hadin. Show your love in a way which is transcendent of rhyme, reason, expectation, and the frame of normalcy, of etiquette, of the bounds that are typically applied. L'mayla magbol sateva. Go beyond your nature. Like it says in Tanya, when a person does tshuva, restores his spirituality and relationship with God, he re-nurtures and redevelops his deep communion and connection. He does it ba'ahava rabba. He does it with great love, v'chasheka, with a great desire, v'nefesh shekaka, with a soul that thirsts and longs, l'davka be'ez baruch, to cleave unto God. Then yesh b'koyach l'taken es achet. Then he's able to fix the sin kolil entirely. V'af l'hoshiv, when you behave inappropriately, you harness positive energy called sparks and you send them the wrong direction. And this is how you can retrieve them. Even though you did a bad thing, you can retrieve it and totally rotate things and turn them around. In the language of our sages, Zedonis Naslik Ezachias, the sin can be considered a mitzvah. It's about this great love that we say, Kvar Kodmach Avraham Avihem. Avraham, their father. What's the emphasis of father? Sheken HaKoyach La'Ahavazu, the strength and power for this love. How can a Jew be so loving to Hashem? How can a Yid find such extraordinary passion and fervor? You have it by nature. Why? Avraham Avihem. If Avraham had it, then we have to have it. Because it's in our genetics. We just have to be able to, in some way, awaken those dormant genes and reveal the Yid, the Ben Ubat Yisrael, that we really are by virtue of our descendancy from Avraham Avihem. That's the story of love, which neutralizes and counterbalances hate.